Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm breaking down a very common power play fantasy. That's right, I'm talking about Daddy Dom Little Girl. Plus, I'm answering all your sex-related questions. Topics include, so you want to start a Daddy Dom Little Girl dynamic, but have no idea where to begin. Good news, I can point you in the right direction. You haven't been able to orgasm with a new partner since, well, your husband. But did you just give up and come to terms with your fate? Of course not. So what exactly is a pubic mound? Where is it? What does it do? And why should you care? How to get out of a long-term relationship rut when you're still in love. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. If you haven't been to our website, you're going to learn a lot, so check it out. Wherever you listen to the podcast, please comment and subscribe. We love that. Find me on Sirius XM Radio. It stars Channel 109, and I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And you can still call in, even if you don't have a subscription, 888-947-8277. Find me on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board for even more sex and relationship information. It's a good time. So thanks everyone for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Now it's time for your fantasy breakdown. Love a fantasy breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, this is a really popular fantasy. Okay, let me break it for you. It's called Daddy Dom Little Girl. So what is this? This is a fantasy more about like age play. So it's like role playing where one partner plays the role of the dominant and devoted daddy figure, and the other plays the role of the submissive little girl. So let me tell you what it isn't. So it's not pedophilia. It doesn't encourage pedophilia. And this fantasy is essentially always between two consenting adults playing the roles of people with different ages and demeanors. And sometimes sex isn't even involved. It's not even about sex. Oh. It's just about that sexy, like, dominant submission. Mm-hmm. Like people like are people who are in like BDSM relationships. Sometimes it's just about like all day long. They're playing the, you know, there's like timeouts and spanking. So here you go. Fantasy could look like this. Like maybe you come home from a hard day at work. You want to leave the stress of your adult life behind and you're the little girl. So you go into your little space, maybe your little space in the house, and you switch into your little girl persona. Maybe you're wearing your little pajamas with feet on it. Or maybe you're wearing something sexier, probably a sexy little girl's outfit. And your partner notices that you're playing the role of a little girl. And then he assumes his position as the daddy. So you might say, Daddy, I'm sleepy. I need you to read me a story. In which case, you know, he wants you to be comfortable. He gives you like a little teddy bear to cuddle with and then the story might get kind of steamy. He starts telling a story about the three bears, the three little bears, but turns to like a threesome or something. Who knows? It gets steamy. And then eventually you guys will, you know, get hot, start having sex. And another example is maybe the little girl has like a temper tantrum and she starts crying or fake crying. And then daddy's like, gives her a spanking, a consensual spanking, calms her down, maybe gives her a little bath before bed. So these are fantasies. And essentially it's about like the, you know, daddy being the protector and the provider. And the little girl, you know, is kind of helpless and wants her daddy's love, which I can kind of, I used to think like, I'm not calling someone daddy. Like daddy is not hot. Don't ever tell me to call you daddy. But I understand it now. I actually had a guy who was into it and I was like, oh, I get it. Cause I kind of like, I like being submissive in bed. I'm dominant all throughout my life. So I didn't mind it with him. I was like, oh, I think before you cast any stones, you assume you're not going to do something. When you hear it with your partner, you guys figure out what kind of, because this is really just a subcategory of BDSM. So I feel like couples can kind of, I don't know, just suspend what you've already believed about it and see if it could work for you, parts of it. Because I didn't think this one could, and it was hot. I didn't go, I wasn't like in a daddy-dom relationship. It was like, I'd call him daddy, and he'd be like, you're a bad little girl. And I didn't hate it.
It's pretty hot.
Okay, so why is this popular? I mean, first of all, role playing, you guys, is hot. If you're just tuning in, role play is a really sexy, hot thing to do in your relationship. And it's a foreplay in a sense. Because a lot of you email and you call with questions about being distracted during sex, not being in the mood for sex, that everything's become rote and boring. We had a few calls about that tonight. So if you are immersing yourself in a fantasy, it's almost like you guys have an activity that night. It's not just sex. It's an activity. You get to dress up in something and be sexy or be a little girl or be whatever you want because it's play. And then you get into a dynamic and the dynamics you get into are like, you're so focused on maybe playing a role or even just a sexy costume. Maybe you're just wearing a wig and your partner is talking to you in a different voice or in an accent. That can be so hot. That's why if you think role play is like, oh, we could never do that. That's ridiculous. We'll laugh the whole time. Well, maybe for a second you'll giggle. But once you get out of your head and you get into like, this is actually a role we're playing, it can be really hot. So I think that the fantasy, you know, of daddy dom little girl is common because for most people, it's very recognizable. It's relatable. It's like if you've never been a doctor, you can't be like, how can I play doctor patient? I don't know how to be a doctor. But like, I guess we've had daddies and we know what little girls do. So it's a very easy one to get into. Kind of like the master slave dynamic or the school teacher and the student. But this one is a little bit more loving and tender. And it also, what I love about this, it sort of can amplify the masculine and feminine roles, which are a requirement in sex. Even if you're in a same-sex relationship, we need the polarity of someone being dominant and someone being submissive in every sex act. I mean, this is an extreme version, but we, you know, this one works. So I guess, so if you want some tips for this too, you guys, I mean, it doesn't have to last the whole night. Like we had someone who worked for us, who's an intern, who we wrote a blog, Shannon. She's got some blogs on the site, still the most popular blog on our site. And she was actually living this role with her partner. She had a daddy. She only called him daddy and she was always in the role. You know, she'd be at work, she'd be interning. But when she was home, that was her thing. She was a little girl.
Yeah, like they were like full on. It was like she, well, first of all, just everything about her sex life is so fascinating because they do so much. But like she would like fall back into being the age of 12. That was like her age.
Yeah. 12 was her age.
And it was funny too, because she was like, you know how like when you get mad at your partner, you lose like their full name or like their middle name. Like, so if she was mad, she would call him by his actual name and not daddy.
Yeah. She'd be like, Jonathan. And then he'd be like, oh, you're in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was always daddy all the time. She's like, well, daddy this, daddy that. So it's very, I mean, it's more common than we think. So there are, but you guys, but the role play just lasts until you're turned on and then you start having sex as usual. You know, it's also good to have a safe word because you just want to be on the safe page. My favorite safe word is using like the traffic light signals, like red, keep going, yellow, caution, you know, a red, stop. I swear I'm a great driver. I'm actually not. Red means stop, green's go, and yellow's like, let's just slow down. Let's have some caution here. That's just so easy. And then you guys, props, some great props. It's so easy. Dress up. You do a coloring book, a teddy bear, tea set, you know, cute little girl outfits. I love dressing up in little skirts and pigtails. It's fun.
Go out for ice cream.
Yes, go out for ice cream. Get some spankings if you're into that. And the daddy's role, too, they're more like lovers than like punishing you. So it's not about like inflicting pain. It's like love and care and then maybe a little punishing and spanking.
Yeah. And then you can like, it can be any couple doing this, like just a parent child type.
Right. You could do anything. Yeah. Yeah, any kind of
like a mom little boy, right, or like mom and little girl.
Right. Step parenting, step sex is also a big trending thing.
That is like a thing.
It's like everything. Yeah. Like step parents, like sleeping with your stepmom or your stepsister and stepbrother is a big porn genre. That's different.
Well, because it's like, it's not incest, technically.
Right. They're like, well, it's really not. You're my stepsister. My sexy stepsister came into my room. And what am I going to do?
But like, what if, okay, because this is the thing, because I can see that actually being a real thing. Like, what if your parents get married and you get a step sibling, but you're like both like, I don't know, already in your 20s or something. You're both in your 20s and then you're attracted to each other.
See, that's why this porn's unbelievable. They're like, that could happen. Or I was always out for my stepsister. Or I guess it's just still kind of forbidden, you know?
That kind of happened on Teen Mom, though, where the two couples, like the mom and the dad got married, and then the two kids were stepbrother and sister, and then they ended up getting married and having a child.
That's so Teen Mom.
Yeah. Like, I know. I know. But I mean that, and then they're still together. And it's so weird because it's like, it's his mom, but it's like they share a dad, and it's like, you know, it's so, but it's not there, but it's like the dad got married to them, but it stepped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were they cool? Were they parents cool with it when they found out?
Yeah. They were totally cool with it.
And then sometimes, like, what if you're already dating and then your parents meet and then they are both single and get together? Yeah. So it's like the opposite. It's like you didn't start out that way, but then your parents made it a thing.
That's happened to someone I know. I've heard that before.
That's like more of a Gossip Girl trope. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it is. Yes. It is like a
definitely.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, we know, we're just gonna go for it.
That's true.
Oh, and in Clueless.
Yeah.
Ovi just typed that.
Yeah.
Oh, our intern. Really?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like if your parents get divorced, your fantasy is like, I hope they get together. I hope they like find someone. But then if they fall in love with your boyfriend's mom, like, oh, right. it's so forbidden, but great. Yeah, that's true. Gotta see Clueless again. I have seen it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Paul Rudd. Oh, so dreamy.
I know. But I didn't. Okay. Because when I first watched that movie when I was way younger.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Paul Rudd was Paul Rudd until I started seeing him in all these Judd Apatow movies. And then when I watched Clueless again afterwards, I was like, oh yeah. Like you just like have those moments where you're like, oh yeah, he is. And then he's also in everything. He's like in Friends and like all his stuff.
Oh, that's right. He was one of those actors circulating.
Yeah.
That's true.
Still his best movie though. Clueless. Yeah. Oh, seriously. For sure.
He does. He's like, he does not age.
No.
At all.
He's the Ant-Man now in the Marvel movies. Still looks the same as he did in Clueless.
How did it happen? And they don't even get better looking, some of
them. Yes. I can't.
Men don't realize how lucky that they are sometimes because a lot of them do get just like.
I know.
Age.
They're like, and then you play the daddy, and you like the daddy, they're older, you're dating. A lot of people calling in tonight, that age difference. And honestly, in my mind, I'm like, how long is this going to last? Is it sustainable? But, you know, I guess also, does it matter? Like right now, if they're having a great time together and she's 23 and he's 51 or whatever it is, like, I mean, they're having great experiences, they're having consensual sex. That's why I like to change how people think about like even breakups. Like, I guess I could see where they're in different decades and different things could happen. But right now, if you're having a great relationship and you're learning something for someone and you're expanding your sexual repertoire, I think it's okay. You know, I think that to look at relationships when they end as a failure and like divorce or is a bad thing. I think that's where we get tripped up. Like, we're not supposed to be with someone, I think, forever. So even if there's a weird age difference or long, not weird, but like, you know, I don't know. I think that to think it could, most marriages don't last forever anyway, relationships.
Yeah.
It's have true. Fun.
Does it just have fun?
Yeah. I just like to change that. I mean, I think people walk around like, oh, I failed. But I think if you're in a relationship and you tried and you committed, you got married, you worked on it, or even any kind of relationship, if you do your work and you tend to look at it, I think we can learn. I know we learn from all relationships. There are lessons and they're great stories too. I'm grateful for all of my relationships. All right, guys, you can call us with any questions you have. 888-947-8277.
We actually have an Instagram question somewhat related to our fantasy topic from a man who's 30. Switching from a dom to vanilla relationship mentally and physically, is it possible?
I think anything's possible. I mean, you could absolutely, if you're with a willing partner, it just means learning a new skill set and finding out what else turns you on besides being dominant. So in a way, you could look at it like you're whole sexual awakening is happening again. It's like the second coming, if you will. Mm. So to work with your partner and find out what's hot and what it means to actually have vanilla sex could be just as novel as someone finding out what it's like to be in a dom relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like still novelty and different. So, and if he doesn't like it, I guess he can share with his partner and go back. But I think it's all possible, you guys. Most of what's keeping us back from having the sex life that we want and that we deserve is just our minds, like getting in the way and stories we tell ourselves. So it's really, like, a lot of what I do is just helping you guys realize, like, well, what are the facts and what are just what you're interpreting to be facts about your situation? And, you know, it takes some work to kind of rewire our neural pathways in our brain, but we can do it.
I mean, I've always wanted to be in, like, a dom sub thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't found I'll keep finding guys. Well, the thing is I keep finding guys that are, like, not able to be that dominant with me.
Oh, it's so true. It's hard. So
well, as a woman, we're like in our masculine a lot too, so you have to let them lead.
That's yeah. exactly it too.
And that's really the thing of, like,
it's
stepping
hard
back.
To do that because I'm so impatient.
I know, me too.
So I'm just like, oh my god, I'm just gonna do it, right? Because like I can't, but I want to, like, so badly. But
yeah,
I always find
you
the feminine energy
your, right same you have to change your, it's mm-hmm. like changing your behavior around men and getting more into your feminine when you're out in the world and, like, breathing into your body and, like, letting them lead. And
it's,
I know,
so
it's freaking
true.
Hard, though.
It's so hard because my husband and I do that. So it's like I'm so, I guess, dominating in my work life all the time that it's like I just want to go home and be dominated.
Yeah. Yes,
and so I'm like,
exactly.
Can you just do that? And then that's what we do. And it
that's
works
really,
so great.
That's so good. So he'll take it. He likes it. Oh,
oh yeah. Yeah. He actually helped me explore that part of me because I didn't realize
awesome.
That's
wow.
what
How did you
I
guys
really
get into it? How did you know?
Oh, like, my God. It was something. It actually. So, I mean, this is a really long time ago now, but it was something where I told him that I liked being choked. And I said, you know, and he's like, have you ever thought of, like, do you know what BDSM is? And learning this in psychology, I was like, well, I learned that in abnormal psychology. Isn't that like abnormal behavior? And then he was like, no, this is not abnormal behavior whatsoever. And so then he kind of opened those doors for me.
Wow.
And that's kind of where it all set off. And then I realized I liked being dominant in the bedroom. And so then we played with that. And then I was like, but I like him being dominant with me. Wow. Once I found my, like, sexual energy, I
yes.
realized
that's,
this is what
I love that. It's so true. Oftentimes we just don't explore or we cast judgment. Oh, that's wrong or it's abnormal. But you're like, no, let me find my groove.
Yeah.
You're not born knowing what you want in bed, you guys. So part of what you're doing right now, which is why I like when the older women, younger men or older women, younger, whatever it is, wherever you're at, every relationship can be a time for you to explore sexually what you're into. So I love that you've been with your husband now for a while and you guys figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys use ropes and tie each other?
Oh, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Bondage gear and
oh,
stuff?
Oh, everything. Yeah, we have shackles, we have handcuffs, we have, we have different types of rope, too.
Amazing.
Some ropes that, like, you can tie up for your breasts, and then there's some that, you know, you can tie up with his balls and his cock, and so it's, like, all kinds.
Wow, did we know this?
No.
No, we're just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
We're, like, having our foreplay.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Christina, our new producer, I want to hear more about that, for sure. Yeah. That's some gear for you, too. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
All right, let's talk to Lisa. She's 52 in Seattle. She's not been able to have an orgasm with any man since she separated from her husband.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Emily.
Hey. Of course, tell me what's going on.
So, yeah. Well, I was with my husband for 30 years, and we separated 5 years ago. I've been out dating. I've had a couple one-year relationships, two in that five-year period. Very nice men. The first guy, the sex was amazing. You know, after 30 years, you have someone new, and it was great. But I have not been able to have an orgasm with my partner. Okay. I can do it with my vibrator.
Right.
I masturbate with my vibrator a lot. And then I think, oh my God, have I ruined it for myself forever?
No. Right.
You know, and the men, the first fella and this new man that I'm seeing now, very willing, there's a lot of communication going on.
Great.
You know, and I just can't get there.
Right.
And
Okay. A question for you, Lisa. Now, here's a question for you. So with your husband of 30 years, did you get there every time? Do you remember? Was it during intercourse? Okay, no. So even then you didn't?
No, I didn't. It was during oral sex. Really, oral sex, the go-to. You know?
Got it. And which is like and you understand, if you've been listening, that that's more common than most women come through oral sex or through a finger or through, you know, but not through intercourse. So what about oral sex with these new guys?
Yes.
And they've tried?
And I mean, valiant efforts. Yes. And, you know, and it's like I'm so close, but I just can't. And, you know, it was a really funny thing because, as I said, I was with my ex for a very long time, 30 years. And it was a really weird thing. I loved oral sex, but I would rarely let him do it. It was almost like I said to him, I know. And I would say, because my feeling was if he did it all the time, right, that I would kind of lose the sensation, because if when he did do it, usually, not every time, but usually it would be pretty mind-blowing. Like I would have these amazing multiple orgasms.
Wow.
So I was worried that if we did it all the time, I would kind of lose my sensation. Now I'm like, you know, now that I don't have that, right, you're just like, oh, you find a guy that's willing to do it, I'm happy.
Right. No, tell me. We are like on an oral mission here. We are like random acts of oral, like we're printing t-shirts. I know, honey. Yeah. It's not happening as much as we need it to happen. But I'm here helping you. So here's the thing. It sounds like here's the good news. You're not broken. Nothing wrong with you, Lisa. I feel like a lot of this is you're O-blocking yourself. I feel like you're in your head, and it sounds like you did a little bit. You have these rules in your head around orgasm, and it's going to go away, or in different scenarios, how it could happen. And so really, this is just a matter of breathing into the moment with these guys and giving them direction in a way that's like, even if it's like you say they're valiant efforts, but they could be going at it like they did it with their last girlfriend, and that's just certainly not going to work for you because you don't like fingers or you don't want direct clitoral stimulation. So to kind of like, I believe that there's a way to give kind feedback when in the moment, because guys don't know, like they're just, they want you to come too, believe me, but they just don't know how. So it's a two part of you kind of, maybe you can be like right here or to the left, show them, but also if you can practice any mind, do you ever do any mindfulness work like meditation or breathing or anything like that? Because this is what you got to
do. Yoga. Yeah.
Yoga. Awesome. Yeah. It's like that. It's literally like in your mind going, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then you go, okay. Okay, Lisa, you breathe. And you breathe really deep. And I'm telling you, there is so much power in breath that when you move breath all the way through your body, it actually has this way of like eliciting orgasm. It moves up with you with your breath. So you can even practice that, you know, during yoga, like the deep breaths, like deep into your pelvic floor. That is going to help you if your breath is louder than your thoughts. So when you notice a thought, just go back to your breath or back to what I'm feeling. I'm feeling his tongue on my clitoris. How does it feel? Because I feel like this is a mind thing. And so you can get through this.
I do kind of think it's a mind thing. I agree. It's just like and it's frustrating for my partner too. And I'm with this new guy, and you know, it's sort of like I don't want to frustrate him, so to speak. And I mean, it always feels good. I mean, this is the thing. I enjoy it very much. I mean, yes, it would be great to get to orgasm. But I mean,
how about some mutual masturbation? This is one of my favorite tips for new couples and for all couples. Mutual masturbation. So you guys are hanging out and it's like, it's super hot because you're like, let's just like say we're new together. I think it's been really hot what we're doing. And I think that we could each show each other a lot here. So the cool thing about mutual masturbation, it's kind of like a twofer, which I love things that act, go two ways, two benefits, is that looking at him masturbate and him looking at you is like really hot. It's like a total turn on for him to see like, oh, wow, look at her, like what she does. It's super hot. She knows her body, even if you use a toy. So I know you're like, but I use a toy. That's fine. And then it's also learning. Like, it's a great learning tool because you're going to see how he touches himself. Like, I remember the first time I did this, I was like, oh, he takes his hand and it goes from the shaft all the way over the tip. And then he goes back down again. I'm like, so now when I'm giving a blowjob, I'll make sure that I do that same movement. He's going to be looking at you going, oh, I didn't realize that she touches her clitoris in this certain way in these roundabout circles. Or it's just a way to learn and to feel. And that might seem awkward to you or weird, but I'm telling you, once you get into the moment with it, it's really hot. And a lot of couples have thanked me for that tip. So if you're comfortable with that, that's a great way to
and
start.
I'm very open. No, I love very it. Open.
Like, try it.
You know, oh, totally.
Okay.
I've unleashed my intersex kitten. She's there.
Good. Okay. Honey, you were married for 30 years. You're out of that marriage. This is the time of your life. This is the time to try it, to get there. Just know that it's going to happen. You're just going to have to communicate a little bit more than you already are. And being vulnerable, saying, I want to come with you, but here's some things I need, is perfectly fine.
Lots of good Instagram questions coming in. So we have one from a woman. She says, how to get over the fear of getting on top due to being insecure, but you're married.
Oh, okay.
She did not provide an age.
All right. So here's the thing about woman on top. Like, how do I rock woman on top? Honestly, the best way to do it is to find something that makes you feel sexy in bed, right? Because I'm going to assume that maybe you don't want to get on top because you feel like, oh, I can see my whole body and I can move. So maybe you're wearing something that like just makes you feel great. And then when you're ready, you just kind of, you get on top and you just start moving your body and you start just like feeling into your body. So what happens is when you say you don't have the confidence, that tells me that you're in your head during sex, which is like really like 99% of the challenges we hear from people is like, I'm so in my head during sex. And so if you can learn to be really mindful to going into that bedroom, you are wearing something sexy. And then when you get on top, if your brain starts going, you look awful, or you don't know what you're doing, you go back to, and this is a practice, I am moving right now. I feel my clitoris on my partner's body. I feel my legs against his sides. I feel our skin touching skin. And the more that you go back to the present moment, I'm hearing the music. I'm smelling the candle that we lit. I am feeling our body. That locks you into the present moment. Because when you do that and you focus on breathing and being present, you can't be in your head worrying about how it looks with you being on top. You just can't. It's impossible to be present and be in your head tripping about something. It doesn't work like that. And this is a practice. It's a lifelong practice. So also remember, did you say it was our husband?
Mm-hmm.
It's your husband. He loves you. He's not leaving you because of the way you rocked woman on top. So for me, for you, it's more about getting over this hump and practicing. I'm all for practicing too. When you're alone masturbating, when you're in the shower, moving in your body. I think we forget to move, especially as women, like this S curve, our pelvic mm-hmm. floor. We get tight, we tense, we clench. We like, oh, we hold so much tension there. So maybe doing some exercises or some stretching, looking in the mirror, dancing, feeling sexy, and getting your body to move in a way that will feel comfortable. Because if you've been stiff all day, you work, you know, you're not working out, you've been sitting at work, you're in a chair, and then you get home, you try to get on top, your body might still be in that uncomfortable position, which is why I love to like try to exercise or stretch every day or go home and meditate, like to separate work between work and home and just like get yourself into the mindset
mm-hmm.
when you feel free. I feel like it's been a long time since I haven't been confident with sex.
I mean, you talk about it all the time. It's your job. You've learned all the things.
But I know there have been times where I'm just like, well, I know that before I started the show, I was like, what can I do that looks, how can I move that he will think is sexy? Did he have an orgasm? I cared less about mine. But once I started to realize that like confidence is the sexiest thing you can bring into the bedroom for me and my partner, then I really just started working on that and it all the rest of it fades away. and I'm older now and I might not look the same way, but I don't even think about those things. And I don't even think about what they're thinking, to be honest, because I know if I'm there with someone, we both want to be there. You can tell if someone doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And we've gotten naked together. We've both been here. I don't have a gun to your head. You can leave. Well, I could leave. And we're there. And they are certainly not thinking any of the things that I might be thinking that are insecurities. And most of what we spend our time worrying about are not even real. They're false evidence appearing real, which is fear.
I think so many women especially focus on performing. I like how you brought that up. You're like, how am I moving to make him?
Right. Well, he thinks this is sexy if I'm sucking in my stomach while I'm on top and moving in a way. It's like, I don't even think about it.
I feel like guys are almost partially blind when they're having sex. Like, I don't know what they're focusing on, but I'm sure it's not that little curve that you think.
No. Mm-mm. Or, yeah, that you gained 2 pounds or that you have a weird mole or that you didn't shave even. I don't know. Like, they're just happy.
You know what? I have noticed a lot that, like, when I just don't, because before I used to have to be like, I can't have sex unless I'm completely bare and ready and prepared. And I used to apologize sometimes. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was going to have sex tonight. And every guy, when I've said that, have been like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm just glad you're here, dude. Yeah. Don't go. And then don't leave.
Also, when I haven't said anything about it, guys don't say shit.
Nope.
They're just happy to be there.
They're just really happy to be there. They're so happy you joined them for this sexual escapade tonight. Thank you for joining me. They should send a freaking thank you card after.
I would love to get a thank you card after sex.
I know.
I think that would be like, I'd be like, damn, I did a good job.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? We do it for everything else. Like, thank you. Can that was great. Yes. Thanks for the great sex last night.
We have Nate, who's 48 in New Mexico, who wants to know how his wife got a UTI.
Oh, hey, Nate. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, and I can't complain.
Okay. Good.
Listen, we anal sex is not an everyday thing. I mean, it is a. My wife is on board with it, and I'm cool with it. So I'm not going to be some overbearing, you know, and just punish my wife with. So we go through all the steps, the sanitation steps, and like, okay, it has happened where we have been having anal and then through the heat of the moment, go back to vaginal.
Yeah, that's it. That's how she gets UTI. You can't do that, Nate. You can't go from back to front. Nope.
It.
Bacteria. Oh, no.
Okay. Never on purpose, never intentional.
No, honey, I get it. You're excited. Totally get it. Yep.
Yes, very excited. So.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Now that hearing you say that, it's like, okay, it was like, you know, because recently, I mean, we had to get the antibiotics. So.
Yeah, Nate, you can't. I mean, here's the thing. It's you can go from the vagina to the anus, but you cannot go back from the anus to the vagina because that's the bacteria, and that's probably why she's getting a UTI. It's bacteria.
Okay, then why? I don't understand why. You know, because my wife is very turned on by the porno show, you know, the porno. So it's like, you know, when they show that or whatever, and we're trying to replicate that.
Because porn isn't real, Nate. Here's what I got to tell you. I'm so glad you asked this question. I love you, Nate. I know because porn, no, but what I'm telling you, Nate, is that this is why I'm so angry with porn sometimes is because the things that you see in porn, they don't show the lube. They don't show the warm up. They don't show that she probably first gets warmed up and has a clitoral orgasm and then he massages her butt and then he wears a condom and then he slowly massages her buttocks and then he pours like a vat of lube in her anus and then he puts it inside. But they don't show that in porn. They show you going from back to front and this is why you're doing it. And this is where we all are having sex that's just not satisfying because we assume that the way they're doing things in porn is real. And that's just one of the reasons why it pisses me off. Nate, you got it?
And to be honest with you, this is my wife that is watching the porn. And man, I'm game. You know, I'm not going to say, no, we're not going to watch that for anything.
Well, unless she likes taking antibiotics. Yeah. I mean, honestly, all you got to do is you could even jump in the shower after. You could have some wipes by your bed, although I don't even know if those would be, you know, if you wipe off your penis really well, just leave some wipes there and then you can go back into her vagina. I will allow that, but make sure you wipe off your entire penis, your balls, your hair, everything, your crevices under your tip, and then you can go back in. But do not. Yeah, they do it in porn, and then this is what happens. Okay, Nate?
Very much. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Nate. This is amazing. No more UTIs for your wife. This is how it happens. You guys, remember, I'm not anti-porn. There are some great things about porn. It's titillating. It can be a great way to actually see certain scenarios that you would like to do with your partner. But no, technically, like, it's not safe. They don't practice safe sex. This is a perfect example. And they don't show the warm-up. They don't show the messiness. They don't show the lube. They show the saliva. Do you know that how most people, you spit on your hand or you spit on your fingers, that could also cause a UTI?
Mm-hmm.
People do that. I've had men do that up until like recently. And I'm like, oh, you can't spit. Don't like stop amid saliva. I hope this just gets everyone to stop right now and go, yeah, I did that last night. I'm sure you did. People don't have lube around, but you don't want to spit into your hand. It is in spit on your partner. I know you see it in porn. Ugh. Grosses me out.
It's so not a turn on for me when a guy does that, like to spit or whatever. Especially because I'm like, maybe if it's not time to start penetrating yet, if I'm that dry. And if right. I am that dry, because sometimes too, it's weird. It's also because it's like inside I might be there's some wetness there, but the outside areas are not.
Right. The clitoris does not lubricate itself. That's why you should just be safe and just have some lube on hand next to your bed. Get a beautiful bottle like the Uber Lube. Get something like Pure, you know, PJUR. We love their lube. It's safe. It's there. You leave it on your nightstand. If you'd like to put it inside your nightstand, that's okay too. But just have it. Like, have it become so normal that you just, before you start anything sexual, before you touch your partner, you put a few drops on, you rub it into the clitoris, and then you start. That's all you need to do. Because it's not going to be wet right away. For many, it does, and the outside is not wet.
And if you're gonna spit, you might as well just go down on me.
I find it offensive. Right. I find it a little rude if someone spits on my vagina. Like, don't spit on my vagina.
Wait,
like, that's...
So they spit directly into your
it's
vagina?
Yeah, in porn all the time.
Yeah, you see that. Like,
oh, I've never had that happen.
When they go right, when they're.
I've only had like spit in like the hand or something.
No, spit on the vagina and then lick it. That happened to me once, and I was like, "Don't do that ever again."
It's a popular porn move.
Mm-hmm, very popular, especially spitting on a dick before you suck it. I feel like, you know, I've talked to a few men and they say that they like that. You know, they're just trying to get real wild. But I'm like, do not ever spit on my vagina.
No,
it's fucking rude,
and it's not good for you.
And it's like, yes, I can get a UTI.
I'm envious of all these people that have all this excess saliva in their mouth. Like, I have a fucking problem.
I know.
I do not salivate enough.
It's probably the weed.
Mm. Oh, I mean, definitely.
Well, I mean, also, like, when you're pleasing yourself or whatever, I feel like my mouth is open most of the time because I'm enjoying a lot of it, and like, and then I have to catch myself and be like, oh my god, my mouth is dry as hell, so I have to close it. And then I realize, like, when I'm with partners, like, I have to be conscious of keeping my mouth closed, because if they go in for a kiss, my mouth is all dry. I'm like, oh, this is not sexy at all.
What could you? Yeah, just leave water by the bed.
By the bed.
Always.
Water and lube.
Always have water by the bed.
Okay, we have Stephanie, 24, in California. She doesn't know if she should leave her boyfriend of 6 years.
God, why do I love these calls? I just feel like I can help you, Stephanie. I just know I can. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi, Stephanie. Tell me what's going on.
Well, I'm really conflicted. It's a really hard topic to talk about.
It's okay. You can take a few deep breaths. I'm here.
Well, like I said, I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. I started, listening to your show a lot. I started, you know, being more, like, open about trying to talk to him about different things, but it just seems like he is very blocked off about it emotionally. Not just about sex, but just, like, where our future is going. Yeah. And I talked to my coworkers about it, and one of them says give him a chance. The other one says break up with him. It's not worth it. You deserve better. And so I'm just really confused.
Yeah.
And he, I feel like he's also confused.
Right. So, Stephanie, let me just tell you this. This totally makes sense. And let me, and I know this might be a little hard to hear, but you're 24 years old. You've been with him for 6 years. So since you were in high school, right? Maybe he was your first, I'm sure he's your first serious boyfriend, your first love, your first everything. And there's there's something about these early...
Well, not my first everything.
I know. Right. But no, I get it. Not the first guy you had sex with, but no, you love him. And he's, you guys essentially grew up together. I know you don't feel this way, but 18 to 24 is a big jump. And you've shared so many things, and you're, and now is a time, I think, to for you to get out there and realize, who is Stephanie without a man in her life? Like, what do you want now in your life at 24? It's very different than 18. All I'm hearing is you want someone who's actually more emotionally available, who wants to work on things with you, maybe sexually and emotionally, and grow with you. And I'm sure he loves you very much, but he just might not have the skills yet. He's just not there yet. You know, it's what I'm hearing. Yeah, you could work on it, but I really believe that this is your 20s and where you're at. It's a perfect time to kind of to do you, like, figure out, break away from it and see, like, what you actually want, and not jump into another relationship and mourn it, honey, because it's not going to be easy. But it's, you know, I'm not saying this is an easy choice. These are the hard, the easy thing is to stay, actually. Like, the hard thing to do is leave, but I think sometimes that's the right choice. And you're probably growing. A lot of times, maybe he's just not ready to grow in that way.
Yeah, it's just, it's really hard because we live together. We're intertwined in our lives.
Right.
Like, he works for my family.
Yep.
And so it's really hard to be like, we're going to not be together.
Right.
That's almost like impossible.
It feels impossible. It feels impossible. Yeah, but you don't do it right away. You don't do it tonight, but it's step by step. And you kind of just realize maybe you just, for now, you just kind of start to talk about it. Let me tell you something. After 6 years, you don't just break up on a whim. Like, it takes time to kind of detangle relationships and figure out emotions and stuff. And I know that sometimes we stay because it just seems crazy. Like, I can't tell you how many relationships I've ended over my life where I'm like, oh, but neither one of us will survive. He'll never be okay. How would this ever work out? We have so many the same friends. And you realize, like, you get past it, it hurts, and you realize that when you get to the other side of it, that you're actually a lot stronger and it was the right choice. And I don't believe in regrets around these things. I really don't. I've been through a lot more relationships than you have, and I just believe that people are in our lives for a certain time, a certain place, and then it's time to move on. And when you move on, that is the right thing to do. And I feel like it's not the easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. That'll all work as himself out. He'll get another job. You'll have to get another place. But first, take your time. I'm not telling you, yes, go do it tomorrow. I'm just saying that the reasons to stay are not because you live together and you're so entwined. Because think about people who are divorced and have kids, right? We go through this, but you're young and you're 24 and you have your whole entire life ahead of you. I have so many more experiences, and this will be such a gift to you from what you've learned from this. But I feel like some baby steps need to be taken right now for you to kind of move forward toward your next chapter.
So you don't think that, like...
I don't even know what the problems are, Stephanie. Like, here's the thing. Tell me the biggest problem you have right now with it. Like, where are you guys not seeing eye to eye?
Well, because I lived with him and have been together for so long.
Can you know what? You're kind of cutting out now.
Hey, Stephanie, you're cutting out a little bit. Can you go to, like, a clear area, or can you give us a call back
real quick?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
No, your phone just got a little...
Yeah, so we're going to hang up, but try to call back, and we'll finish
calls
up
right
the
back.
Call, please.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Okay. I mean, you're right. There is more to hear from that. I'd like to hear what happened, but I just kind of know at that age, that time. He wasn't emotionally meeting her where she's at.
I know. My heart goes out to her.
I know. It's not easy. But yeah, call back, Stephanie, because you just kind of got all wonky there, but we can help you.
Emily, what do you feel about the people who are calling when you have to ask? Do you feel like that kind of tells you?
Well, if you feel like I mean, I think if you think that you should break up and you're talking to all your friends at work, which, by the way, not always the best thing to do because your friends love you and they're not always going to, they don't know. I'm telling you. But if you already are at that point, you probably, it's time. Yes. I believe if you got to ask everybody about it and you're not sure, you're when you don't know, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like some of the best advice I ever got. I remember someone said to me, I must have been in my 20s, same thing. And a woman said to me, if you don't know, you know. I'm like, wow. Because when you know, you know. You might know that someone's great, but you still have like, yeah, I know I love this guy, but am I going to be able to deal with A, B, and C? But I love them. But when you're on this kind of fence, I don't know, typically, you know.
I think all those buts, they would never exist. But this, but that. Like when you don't know, there's always an instant gut feeling or something in the back of your mind that's like, you actually do know the answer.
Yeah.
It's just hard to pull the trigger.
It's true. Yeah.
Especially when you're at that age, because I remember when I was in my... I was in like my high school sweetheart relationship and we were all together. And then it was just such a bad relationship though. But I was like, I have to make this work.
Right.
I have to fix him. I have to make sure we can get through this.
Right.
And it's like, once you get on year four and you're like, oh my God, I don't think I can do this.
Right. Well, it's true. We were such fixers too, right? Mm-hmm. But people don't change unless they want to change. And that's why I was asking her what is actually going on. Because typically I don't, you know, I didn't know, but typically maybe she wants to change him. It sounded like she wanted to be more emotionally available and all these things. And people get there when they want to get there, but they're not going to get there because you're making them. Like you're saying, be more evolved and be what he doesn't. He's 24.
Right, exactly.
Mm. I believe not to get married before you're 30. I know it's worked for you, Christina.
It has worked for me. But we have a lot more of my relationship that we could get into much
later.
Oh,
we will. We will. We will. We will. For sure.
That's like what my big ex, I call him my big ex because he was like the love of my life. And that's why I had to leave him.
First loves.
Yeah, I had to leave him because he was not changing in the ways that I was like, I know you have it in you. And then now I know him as a person here and there, and he's not like fully evolved, but he's better. So I do see that he himself is deciding to make some changes now and again.
Yeah, they have to decide on their own though, but you can't move that process along for people until they want to learn. And sometimes by leaving them is a great gift. People grow after you leave them sometimes too, or they leave you, and that's when you do great work. I'm telling you, I was saying this morning, my friend sang with me, she's known me forever. And I was like, I always leave all the guys I date better than when I found them. Like, you know, when you go camping and they're like, leave the campground cleaner. Like they're sober, or they got into therapy, or they like learn how to do laundry and clean their apartment.
Yes.
They're always so better. True. Like, I feel so like I haven't harmed them, but maybe they weren't ready. But I'm like, you got to do all these things, you know? So
I feel
so true.
I'm like, how am I better?
I feel like with their situation, since they're so intertwined, it's kind of like an excuse to stay together when in reality they're really holding each other back. So I feel like that's a perspective that like takes a while to
realize it, like, because it seems untenable to her, like, but he works for my family, right, and we live together, and we have the same friends. And then her mind goes into like fruit. That's literally the only life she's known. Let's talk about 66 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major, like, since she's an adult, it's almost like saying, I'm going to break up my family. Like, this guy's my family. So I definitely recommend therapy for that kind of stuff, too. At a young age, it's going to be hard, or at least she has really good support around her. You know? But
and you can get
easy.
New friends, too, because I lost all my friends at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's totally happened where I was in my first relationship, my first love, and that's exactly what happened. All the friends, he was the varsity baseball player. So of course they all were like, we were all on the dance team together. So it was just like, oh, well, his name was Brad. We're with Brad. So we're just going to stay with Brad. And so it was just like all of them were dating the baseball players too. So then when they went to college, when we were going to like community college first, then they were like, oh, well, we're going to stay with him. And I was still in classes
that hurts.
With him.
Oh, that's hard. Ugh. I mean, it's not easy, but it was the right thing, right?
Oh my God. Totally.
Yeah, it is.
Ran
right
into
thing.
Him recently. Was happy about that.
Yeah.
Were
you?
Great. Oh, yeah. It's great because I had my husband with me. I was like, oh, I got to go have my husband here.
Right,
bye.
Exactly.
Like when you're winning the breakup.
Right. Yeah,
even
exactly.
Years later, like there's always a winner and a loser. And it's like even 15 years later, you're like, yep, I'm winning.
Winning
still.
Yeah. And it will happen. I'm sure with your big ex that call Jamie, I agree. I totally think it's going to happen to you where you're going to run into him one day. Everything's going to be so amazing. You're going to be like, wow. What the heck was I seeing in that guy?
I already feel that way, which is funny.
Exactly.
And we always had this running joke that like, even if we break up, like at the 10-year reunion, we'll meet up and we'll still, he's like, I'm going to have sex with you there, even if we're with people. And I'm like, you're so dumb.
People love those
And
things.
It's so funny because it's like really close to that reunion. And like, I low-key can see that happening.
Oh.
I can see that
counting
going
the minutes
down.
Minutes to the reunion.
Well, just because how funny would it be to actually keep that? I don't know. In my head, I thought.
Be a good story here for the radio.
Yeah.
Emily, what are your thoughts, though, of people getting in these relationships and intertwining their lives so much? Like, I know couples that literally share bank accounts in
at this young age. I mean, it depends where you're at. I think it's easier. I think that you get into it and you don't realize it. You're like, moving in together seems like the best idea, because most people make all these decisions when they are in the falling in love phase, the honeymoon phase, when your chemicals or the love hormones are raging and you're so bonded and connected. And it seems just like, of course, we will live together and share a bank account because there's nothing else that could ever separate us. So I think go slow on these things. I mean, I think couples now don't even share bank. I have a lot of friends who are like, we are married and we don't share a bank account.
We don't.
That's what I think is the right thing to do.
My husband wants to.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
We don't.
Yeah, don't share a bank account and don't move in together prematurely. And just, you know, I think that it's maybe easier for financial reasons people do it, but I get that. But really, you guys, try to keep your own autonomy. I think people move in way too quickly, especially in their 20s. Just young love. You think you got all the time in the world, but it makes it messier. So that's what I think.
And like having all the same friends, like you talk about all the time. I think it's important that, I mean, this girl, it just sounds like she's gotten to a point, it's so deep. How can she avoid that in her next relationship?
I think that, you know, that's, you know, it's true. We tend to repeat relationships patterns over and over again. So I think, you know, taking some time to actually date, I think that's something we forget when we're used to being in relationships. It can feel so scary to be out of a relationship that we tend to cling on to the next person. So what I would say to her is to definitely take time and just date. I think that now we have to realize that you have permission to date a bunch of people until you commit. It doesn't mean your people are like, oh, it means I'm slutty, I can't sleep with a few people at once. If you're on, yeah, I think you can, or at least date a bunch of people till you know who you are and you know what you want. And I think, how does she avoid that the second time? I mean, I think that there's a certain breeding ground when you're in high school together. Like, that's just so enmeshed. It's like dating people in college. It's kind of, hopefully, like, she's out of, you know, high school now. So in her 20s, like, hopefully that same kind of enmeshment won't happen. She'll realize how hard it was to get detangled from it. And she'll take time to figure herself out right now. And hopefully has good friends around her who are checker. Will be like, don't have move in yet.
And the true friends, like, even the ones that she shares with her boyfriend at the moment, the true ones will stick around.
Oh, yeah.
The other ones will drop off, and then that just makes room for better, newer friends.
Yes, it's so true.
We have a Justin, 34, in California. He wants to know where the pubic mound is and how he can stimulate it.
Ooh, I love this, Justin. Pubic mound is so not understood or easy to find. People don't know what it is. I love this question. You want me to tell you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Justin.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi. I know it's Dustin D, but I'm curious. Yes, I'm curious to know exactly where the pubic mound is and how do I stimulate it for my wife.
Okay. So the pubic mound is essentially right above the clitoral opening. Like, it's the mound where the pubic hair is, essentially. So it's that whole... it's that whole area, like, right above it. Like, not like below your belly button, but we're talking... like by the vaginal opening, like right above the clitoris and the vaginal opening. And it's like there, that whole area is the mound. And so what you essentially would do there, if that makes sense to you, is that you would stimulate it by applying pressure to it. Maybe it's like because what happens is you're stimulating internal nerve endings, which could be the G-spot. It could be internal clitoral nerves. You're sort of hitting all of them. And so a lot of women do this intuitively. They just kind of apply pressure to it. You could use a few fingers or you could use the palm of your hand and just apply pressure to it while you're also stimulating her vulva or her labia. It's just kind of like, So that's what you do. It's essentially the fleshy part of the vagina above the labia. Like above apply pressure to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions about that? See if she likes it. I think that it's a hidden hot spot.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Justin. Anything else?
Let me continue doing what you're doing.
You what? All right. Great. Thank you. It stimulates the clitoris from the inside, essentially. I think all those internal nerves were like, is it the G? I call it the G area, the G spot. It makes sense, though, that it would be. And then it could also help. A lot of women can squirt that way. Holding up the magic wand on the pubic mound can help many women squirt if you're into that kind of thing.
I started masturbating that way.
Yeah.
Like pressure. Pushing more down on that area.
Same. I mean, years ago, I realized that. And it's intense because you're hitting so many more. Because essentially, you're like squishing. Like if you think about that fleshy part and you're either you're applying pressure on it or you're pushing it down, it's like squeezing to, it's like hitting all the clitoral nerves and then a little internal. I don't know. I've been doing that forever and I didn't know. I thought it was weird that when I was having sex or if a guy was going down on me, I was like pushing on it. But I still do. I mean, that's just how I've had a lot of pleasure.
Oh, so you were doing it before you knew exactly what it
was
doing.
Yeah, I've been doing it since I was, since in my 20s, I think.
I only did it because you told me to do it.
Great advice.
It works, though.
Right? Any way you can get those nerves going, I think just don't be limited by thinking the clitoris is just what you see. It's so much bigger than that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Share this with a friend who you think it might help them out. It's helping you, right? I love hearing from you all. So thanks for participating, being vulnerable, calling in, emailing, and sharing your questions. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, Elisa, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.